Hey there, Sunday Night's Main Event listeners. Coming up next, another sample of one of our podcasts. Yeah, we're more than just a weekly wrestling review show. Along with that, we do podcasts each and every day that can be delivered to you directly into your podcatcher by signing up to our Patreon. It is only $1 a week at patreon.com/SNMEradio. And you'll get podcasts like the next one. SmackDown. It falls at the end of the week and sometimes it's forgotten, but we have got you covered with our East Coast dads. Yeah, both of these gentlemen are from Nova Scotia. Yes, they are dads, and we call them the Smack Daddies. Reviewing SmackDown every week. A sample is up next, and if you want to get this review and each and every day get another review of pro wrestling, sign up patreon.com/SNMEradio. But now, your SmackDown review with the Smack Daddies.
Well, hello, friends and fellow and guests. Welcome. It's Friday night. And you know what that means? It's time for your Smack Daddies to talk a little bit about SmackDown. My name is Brad the Dad. I am joined by my tag team partner, as always, Greg Father Feltham.
I see my son.
And we are here to talk to you about SmackDown. Because that's what the Smack Daddies do. Well, first of all, we're going to waste some time because we're going to avoid talking about SmackDown a little bit. Not that it's a bad show. Greg's making funny faces at me. It wasn't that. So here's the thing. SmackDown on most weeks is good, not great. And this is a classic good, not great episode of SmackDown where there's some things that are pretty good, some things that are pretty bad, and a lot of stuff in the middle. We'll then talk a little bit about some dilly-dallying, and we'll plug the heck out of everything else because we are the free show this week. Thank you to our, I say friends, that's what I call the members of our Patreon, but I would say guests. You are honored guests joining us along the ride, and we're going to talk a little bit about all of those things and a little bit of news off the top. But before we get into that, the most important question of the week. Greg, how you doing?
I am doing all right on this snowy Friday night here in Nova Scotia. Brad, it's been a bit of a week. I mean, of course, it's a short week for most of us here in Canada with the holiday Monday. I spent my day at a hockey arena watching some Mooseheads hockey. You know, trying to cram 4 days worth of work into, or sorry, 5 days worth of work into 4 days, is how I spent the rest of my week. How about you?
Yeah, pretty much the same. I did have, like, I worked part of Monday, because I have a class I teach on Monday night, so that is kind of not. I just was like, well, you know, we got to get it done, so. And when I pulled the audience, they were all going to be there. So I was like, okay, I guess I'll just come in. So family hike and then cramming a lot of work. My Tuesday started with an interesting, fun, super fun event. I come in and go to my sound booth to unload some of my gear, get myself organized for the week, start answering emails. I'm like, okay, eventually I have to go up to the rest of the office and see people. But if I get my emails done, it'll be all good. And some guy, I'll call him Steve, but that's not his real name. Steve comes around the corner and he's red in the face. Like he's red. Like when he's mad, he's red. Okay. So he's real red. And I'm like, dude, what's wrong? He's like, you have to see this. So I come around the door, come around a corner, go to the outside door on the far side of the building, away from everything else. And we have a door caved in. And then I'm looking at going to the room next to it is the furnace room. There's a door on that. It's caved in. I go outside. Can't get out the doors. Have to go around. Go outside. The bricks beat in. I assume somebody took a pickup truck and backed up over and over and over again trying to break into the church I work at. Guess what it was?
I have not the foggiest idea.
Well, we got a little bit of snow on Sunday morning. And somehow the snowplow operator managed to crash into the building.
Lovely. And how did we discover this?
Security cameras.
Very good.
Because the adult thing to do is to run away and not tell anybody that you may or may not have, you know, cracked bricks and busted up four doors. Sorry, they're two folding doors. And two of them are, one of them is steel reinforced doors that he literally, it looks like somebody like Big Show punched a hole into it.
Lovely. So how long did it take for that to get fixed?
Well, the doors are mostly fixed. The building is secured. We can open up one door. The furnace doors, I have no idea. That's probably going to be a hole. But both, all the doors need to be taken down and have frames up. They are temporarily fixed enough so that you can get out of them in an emergency situation.
Yeah.
And we have two contractors looking at it. So whichever one gives us the better bid.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're dads, you know, stuff happens, accidents happen, but you know what? Usually the thing you would expect to happen with your kids would be that they would come tell you once they break 20,000, you know, it's at the end of the day, the quotes are coming in around $2,000 worth of damage at least. And insurance covers everything. So why not be an adult?
That's exactly what I was going to say. It was my next thing is that, like, it's not like that you wouldn't have had insurance that would cover the repair, whether it was, you know, the liability insurance from the snowplow operator or building insurance. I mean, you know, that this should not be any out-of-pocket really expense for you.
It's the liability insurance of the snowplow provider who will happily cover it. They, as soon as we called them and said it was their fault, we just sent over an email with the videotape on it, and they said back, yeah, no problem, we'll run it through insurance, no big deal, it happens.
Yeah.
And it's like, so like I feel bad because I think this guy probably got fired, and not because he crashed into a building, but because he didn't tell the truth. Kids, that's your lesson of the week. Tell the truth.
Yeah. Well, I didn't. I don't have any fun stories like that this week, Brad, of people crashing into buildings and running away and video cameras. Yeah, my week was boring. Yeah, a couple of hockey games we went to. Yeah, beyond that, I mean, it was a relatively quiet week. It's actually been nice because for the patrons anyway, are probably aware, but I'm actually getting a chance to stretch my legs and head back out on the road, which I haven't been anywhere in 2 years. So next week I'm heading to the States, which will be interesting to say the least. So it's been nice to be able to spend a little bit of time at home with the family before I go and, you know, try to get packed and get ready and yeah, all that fun stuff.
Enjoy your trip. I mean, that's fun to stretch the legs. I mean, it's tough to go away without your fam jam, but it's nice to get back on the road. And yeah, nothing. I mean, you know, the real world news is way more interesting, but like World War III, I don't know, but we're not going to talk about World War III. We're going to try to avoid all that stuff. And instead, we're going to talk about some of the exciting news from wrestling this week, because we had a big set of news that affects us here on SmackDown.
Yeah. So let's start with that. So let's hit the music. Oh, see, do you know what? I never even came with a beer tonight.
Well, I don't have a beer either.
Oh, no? Okay, what do you got?
Tonight, I am drinking another Lake City Cider. This one is called Green Ginger. Okay. So it is a green cider.
Okay, all right.
So it has a little bit of ginger and some, what makes it green? Because it is very green looking and delicious. Ginger root and natural chlorophyll. Nope, that can't be it. C-H-L-O-R-O-P-H-Y-L-L. Which apparently is what's making it green.
Lovely.
Delicious. All right.
Well, I mean, it's maybe better than that. Some other green stuff that could be making it green. Who knows?
Yeah. What happened to good old green dye number 5?
That's not the green I was talking about, my friend.
Oh, okay. You know. All right. It's legal in Canada.
It is. I mean... All right. Big news of the week, obviously, and this broke, I think, Thursday, coming out from our good friends at Fightful Select, were the first to report that Cesaro had quietly exited WWE after two sides were in contract negotiations but were unable to come to an agreement on a new deal. Cesaro was actually on a one-year extension. But obviously, you know, he is now out of the company. And of course, because he was not, you know, released, his contract was up. He has no non-compete clause, you know, so he could sign anywhere and start work immediately. Of course, Fightful Select is also reporting that there's no animosity between WWE and Cesaro. The door is obviously not closed. Who knows? He may very well go, you know, re-sign with them. He may test the market. I guess time is going to tell of what we see next for one Cesaro. But I guess the big thing come out of this, and obviously it directly affects us at SmackDown, is Cesaro obviously has been on the show and been in WWE for, I believe, 11 years. And, you know, we've seen a couple hundred matches of him versus Sheamus up at this point. So what does that mean for the Celtic Warrior and Celtic Warrior Light, and without having a Cesaro on the roster for these matches that continue on ad nauseum?
Ricochet is going to get pinned quite often on SmackDown.
That is a very fair point. We did get to see Ricochet, and you're probably right. He is going to get pinned next week, 100%.
I mean, the craziest thing is, whether we call him Cesaro or I think he's now Claudio again, I am very excited to see where he goes. I think it's fair to say he was underutilized as a WWE talent. Some people would argue that he hit a ceiling. I would say that he is underutilized and in a different roster where they appreciate the fact that he can wrestle really well and has all this physical charisma, but not a lot of verbal charisma. He may go really far. Where would you, not where do you think he's going to end up? We can do that in a second. Where do you want to see him? Like, where should he be? Where should we see Cesaro / Claudio going forward?
That's a damn good question. And I honestly don't even know how to answer it, Brad. You know, the boys on,
how about I give you some options?
Okay. All right.
So AEW is the first choice.
Yeah.
He can go down to AAA or CMLL to go to Mexico. He can head over to Impact / whatever ROH is going to look like. NWA, he could head over to Power, or he could cross the pond and tour Europe, or the sixth option, he'd go to Japan.
I would guess Japan. That's just me saying that, though. I mean, I have no information. I've not read anything to say he's leaning in any direction, any way, shape, or form. My fear is AEW. I mean, Cesaro's great. He's great in the ring, and he will be great on Elevation, and that's about it. We won't see him on the main kind of show.
Unless he ends up in AEW with whatever's going to happen with Jon Moxley and Bryan Danielson, and he ends up in that faction.
Maybe.
Because that could be a group of killers. 40-year-old guys, the WWE cast-offs who come in and just wreck stuff.
The cast-off killers?
Oh, cast-off killers. There you go. I mean, here, at the end of it, I think New Japan would be perfect for this guy. He hits hard. You don't need to cut a promo, and you can curse like a sailor, apparently, in New Japan. It'd be great for him. But yeah, I kind of wonder if he's going back. Like, part of me is just like, I can't see him not going back to WWE.
That's honestly where I was debating in my head as well. Just simply because I know, you know, it's obviously not a money thing, because he probably would have signed if it was purely a money thing. I think he's, you know, as you said, 41-year-old, I think he is now. This is probably his last big deal. So what does he want to do? He obviously wants money, but he also wants a push.
Well, and wants some freedom and creativity. I'll tell you what I don't want. The only thing I don't want is, and I mean, I think he'll probably end up in AEW. I think you're right. Yeah, I just don't want to see the Kings of Wrestling back. And I know that's controversial because everybody loves Chris Hero. I think Claudio's outgrown him.
Fair.
There's nothing wrong with Hero, but Cesaro is / Claudio is the superstar of that team.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you in the least bit.
And the last time we saw Hiro, he was wrestling in England and he was wearing a shirt. And I just, like, you compare that to what Cesaro looks like now, and it's like, man, like, I really hope Cesaro can go someplace and make Vince regret letting him go. And at the end of the year, on the big show, when they're doing the year end, they go, they really dropped the ball on dot, 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 and it's Cesaro. And people talk about the run he went on.
I would love to see that. I simply don't know. Brad, we're the next, you know, we're the next stop on the path is for Cesaro. You know, is it, what? As you said, is it going to be back to WWE? Is it an AEW type? Is it a New Japan? I just simply don't know where the next thing is.
He's going to keep swinging around, and where he stops, nobody knows.
That's funny. That's funny.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's obviously the big news out of the week, out of WWE anyway, is Cesaro. I mean, Cody Watch 2022 is still underway. No one really knows where he is. Fightful Select has updated again today on, you know, Cody Watch, and honestly, you know, I don't think anyone's further ahead. Whether or not he's going back to AEW, if they can come to some sort of agreement, if he's going to go into WWE.
Retiring. That's what they keep saying. He's retiring.
Well, apparently his people are saying right now that he is being a bit of a stay-at-home dad. So, you got Johnny Wrestling being a stay-at-home dad now. You've got Cody. So who knows, Brad?
If they start a podcast, we are suing the crap out of them.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, they're stealing our gimmick.
They would 100% steal our gimmick.
Can we do that as a quick aside? Shout out to Johnny Wrestling for congratulations and welcome to the Dad Club. Did you hear the name of Baby Wrestling?
No, I think didn't we congratulate him on the show after the birth? But I don't remember the baby's name.
Quill.
Quill. Yeah. So okay, cool.
As in Peter Quill. No, I think it happened. I think it may have happened last week. The baby was only born last week, and it may have been before our pre-tape.
Oh, maybe that's what it was. Yeah. Okay, and I didn't put it in the news. So
well, we didn't do news on Saturday because we powered through. The super special Saudi Arabia show. Oh, and this seems as appropriate time as anything. Congratulations, you were right. It was totally a work.
Yes, that drove me nuts on so many levels.
If you were as good as picking wrestlers in pools as you were as picking out works, you'd definitely be winning
the contest. I hate you so much. I hate you so, so much. I picked, so for those who have no idea what we're talking about and didn't listen, I went out on a limb, figured that maybe we were getting a, you know, thrown together match on that Saudi show, and I put my money down on Mansoor in our last patron standing contest, and nope. Mansoor, who has a, you know, Undertaker-like streak in Saudi Arabia, didn't show up. So pissed.
It's like that WrestleMania where the Undertaker didn't show up to wrestle because he was hurt. Maybe Mansoor's hurt. Who knows? Listen, and if you're listening to us and you're listening and you're getting it through the free feed, Last Patron Standing works very simply. You pick, at the beginning of the year, we're all active. You pick a wrestler and you follow that wrestler for the one pay-per-view. And if he wins or she wins, then you move on to the next pay-per-view. If they lose, you're out. But you can't pick that same wrestler again. So, for example, I picked Becky. I can't pick Becky at WrestleMania. That's okay. I think she's going to lose anyways. But that's it. And then you basically get eliminated. If for some reason your match falls apart, you're screwed. Who cares? You should have picked a guaranteed thing. But yeah, so Greg picked Mansoor. It didn't happen.
I thought I picked a guaranteed thing. And yeah, he just didn't show up.
He didn't show up. You're right. Like, that's the first Saudi Mania that we didn't get, or a Blood Money special that we didn't get him.
I know, Brad. It was so obvious, and yet I still didn't get anywhere. So, yep. Anyhow, at a last patron standing, that's it. Oh, well. Brad, let's talk some ticket sales. WrestleMania ticket numbers have been coming out. The Observer's reporting that as of last week, there were 53,000 tickets out for both nights. A legit sellout would be just over 80,000. The last time they had WrestleMania at AT&T, they sold out at 80,709. So they still have a whole bunch of room left to go to sell out both nights at WrestleMania. And what are we, 36 days away? Doesn't look like that's going to happen this year.
Listen, they're going to find another 50,000 seats for that WrestleMania. I heard you. You said 30,000. But WWE math, I think it was 100,000+ people at that last WrestleMania there at AT&T Stadium, better known as Jerry's World.
Yep. They have, so for the April 1st SmackDown and Hall of Fame show, there's 7,638 tickets out. And for the April 4th Raw, there's 8,728 tickets out. And the sellout for both those shows is around 15,000. So they're both at about half full thereabouts.
I'm really surprised SmackDown show didn't get a little uptake with The Undertaker being announced for the Hall of Fame. How do you feel about that? Like, you can't get any better than that, right?
It's exactly, it was actually perfect transition is exactly what I was going to come up with next is, of course, The Undertaker's been announced for the Hall of Fame. We saw the very long montage last week during Blood Money. Didn't see it on the show tonight, which was nice, I guess. I like that The Undertaker is going in, and I actually am of the opinion that he should go in by himself with no one else in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely, and I think we'll have to check with the boss, but I would love to do something special where if it was, we could record SmackDown very quickly, because I suspect that'll be a very recap / promo heavy show. And then we could sit down with some patrons over Zoom and watch The Undertaker's speech and see what he does. Like, I think is he inducted by just one person, or do we have like a cavalcade of guests come out on stage and put over The Undertaker and blow smoke up his ass for an hour?
Definitely could. I mean, I think that they're planning to time out Hall of Fame at about 90 minutes. So show will start at about 10:30 Eastern and run till about midnight. And then, of course, I think it's like 11 a.m. the next morning for NXT. So
90 minutes to me seems about right to put The Undertaker in by himself.
The
only other person you need to put in with him is Michelle McCool.
Yeah. I mean, I personally am thinking at this point, Michelle McCool can wait till next time they're back in Texas. You know, let Taker go in by himself.
Hey, listen, if she doesn't go in with him that night, he might be a dead man walking.
Very fair. Very fair. Brad, in some other contract news, of course, it was reported earlier this week that AJ Styles has officially re-signed back with WWE on a new multi-million dollar, multi-year contract, believed to be worth more than $3 million per year, plus additional bus travel costs being covered. An update in the Observer newsletter is that apparently there were no overtures made from AEW to Styles before he decided to re-sign with WWE. Does that surprise you at all?
Makes me think they're dumb. Because if I was going to grab somebody, the one guy who can definitely go is AJ Styles. Unless there's some injury we're all unaware of that is limiting him in the ring. But yeah, if I could have grabbed AJ Styles in my roster, I would have. But I think he's pretty happy where he's at. I imagine he does okay, and he doesn't have to kill himself.
That's, the only thing that surprises me a little bit is, and maybe if they had more of a, you know, relationship now with Impact, or whatever we're calling that organization at this point, because I know his buddies are over there, the Good Brothers. So, you know, maybe if there was some sort of more, you know, collaboration between AEW and Impact that maybe he might be more willing to, you know, explore out there. But looks like he is probably gonna, you know, has got his final deal in WWE, and I think
it's gonna be his final deal, dude. Like at his age, a 3-year deal is pretty much that's it. That's his career. And if they're going to pay you that much money, why not? That's like probably the most he's ever made as a wrestler.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, let's be honest, he could end up in AEW any day because you know what will happen.
I was going to say, every contract now, while it may be a multi-year contract, every contract is a 90-day contract now because Vince could cut you at any time.
Oh, yeah. He'll just get in a... He'll be like, who hired this short guy with good hair?
Brad, this one is actually just for you because I know you have a special love for this guy. Your good friend, WWE Hall of Famer Mick Foley, has filed another trademark for one of his former gimmicks. Previously, he had filed a trademark for his Dude Love character. He has now filed a trademark claim on Cactus Jack. Ooh. So, yeah, it looks like he's going to be able to control those trademarks going forward if he's successful in getting those. So, I guess WWE just simply abandoned them.
So, which means new Cactus Jack shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees.
I would assume so. And last but not least tonight, Brad, and really this is... for you and me, where we can both be happy and commiserate at the same time. WWE and AEW are hyping up some big news that's been speculated, according to PW Insider, that A&E are planning to do biography WWE Legends again. Obviously, the first season aired last year that featured 2-hour documentaries on Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Warrior, etc. They have A&E has been in contact with Jim Ross that he's debating whether or not he's going to help out with this. But they A&E are teasing DX's involvement here in this project, or it being at least a feature of this, because the Twitter post on it says, "Watch this space at WWE fans. Big news coming soon. Are you ready?"
Wow. So,
yeah.
See, I think a Triple H one will be fascinating.
I think so too. Obviously, for your and my amusement and for everyone else out there, A&E obviously also hosted and aired Most Wanted Treasures from April 18th to June 20th of 2011. Show featured Triple H, his wife Stephanie, getting former WWE superstar AJ Francis, aka Top Dollar, to meet up with various superstars across the country in searching for rare collectibles the company wants to keep at the WWE warehouse.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I really hope this leads to that, but I'm not sure it's going to. But I'll enjoy this. I mean, they were really good. Is besides Triple H, is there anybody else that sticks out for you? Is there any other legends left that you want to see a documentary on that isn't about them being terrible human beings, scumbag human beings, like Dark Side of the Ring?
I was going to say, the Andre one that they did last year was so, so good. But that I'm getting confused between the Andre. I think that was actually the Most Wanted Treasures one. No, the Most Wanted Treasures one.
Oh, yeah, okay.
As opposed to the other one, the other Andre one.
What about Hacksaw? Like, I would love a documentary on somebody like Hacksaw Jim Duggan, or shouldn't I think of, like, I would love to hear... You know, it's crazy. It's going to sound not a big legend, but Tatanka. I would love to hear his interest. Like, it sounds like he has quite this. I imagine he has quite the story. Like, up and down, up and down.
Yeah. No, I mean, someone like that might be interesting. I mean, there's WWE and really has a, a gold mine of, history that they can go back on. They have so many characters. I mean, you've got some that were more obviously minor players, as you said, a Tatanka or, a Doink the Clown or something like that. But I mean, you also have some bigger names back there that you could kind of pull on and kind of pull in. You could do a Kevin Nash, maybe. They could do a Bret Hart if he was interested, involved in doing something like that now.
Razor, they did. I think they did Brett last year, but Razor, like Razor,
Scott Hall, yeah.
Scott Hall would be great. Just as like, there's been great documentaries made with the rise and fall of his of Jake Roberts as well. Like, just those guys with their addictions would be interesting. So there is, it's exciting. Hopefully they'll do something fun with it. And yeah, Triple H is top of my list.
Yeah, especially, you know, after the health scare he's had this year. I mean, even if you want to even go back into the 80s, right? I mean, someone like Iron Sheik, you know, he's certainly not getting any younger. Getting him on film a little more would be good. I did see something this week, actually, where I guess Heenan mentioned that that Iron Sheik's entrance was so long at WrestleMania 17, he'd be still coming out at WrestleMania 38, which is this year. So someone said that they really just got to wheel Iron Sheik out at some point just for that laugh. So that's why Iron Sheik's on my mind right now.
Even if Bobby, if just for Bobby Heenan and wherever he is now, he could just look down and have a good chuckle.
Yeah.
They picked up my joke. They picked up my joke. Oh, well, Greg, as always, thank you. I love these kind of like sidebar conversations because these are the things, I don't know about you guys, but those are the things that like when I would see my friends in real life and we're getting very, very close to that, this was the things you talk about is like, did you hear that? Where's Cody going to go? And why did Cesaro leave WWE? Those are those real life conversations that we fans have between each other. And now it also helps us delay the fact that we have to talk about SmackDown. And I don't mean this in a bad way. Again, I think SmackDown is a very average show.
Yeah, average is definitely the word of tonight. This is episode 1171 from Hershey, Pennsylvania.
And what other way do we start a SmackDown than with recap number one, which was a very long recap explaining the long story to get here to our WrestleMania Night 2 main event, title for title, unification match, Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. And we see all of the little bumps on the road. I'm sure all of you crazy wrestling fans have already seen that and know what it's all about. And I'm sure we're going to have to sit through this recap. Oh gosh, probably three or four more times. I'm just trying to think, like, definitely on the pre-show, definitely on the go-home show, definitely on the 5 minutes before WrestleMania. I think we're going to sit through this a few times. And from there, after this, we have Pat McAfee promoting the fact that we're going to have the giant contract signing for the greatest main event of all time, the greatest main event in WrestleMania history. And then Pat McAfee introduces the greatest sports entertainment announcer, Michael Cole, who's going to have an interview with Ronda Rousey. And I kind of enjoyed McAfee here. He put over Michael Cole. And I think that there's something beautiful about the fact that he is putting over Michael Cole. And then we get Ronda Rousey in an interview segment. And whoever made this decision was wise, because the last thing we want is Ronda Rousey out there with a live microphone by herself.
I'm not even sure that it was wise, Brad.
You think this was painful?
This was painful on so many levels. And I mean, we get two Ronda Rousey interview segments in the one show, and one is clearly superior to the other.
Well, the last thing you want is Ronda Rousey. You can say that because you're behind a microphone in a country far, far away. If you run into her on the street, don't tell her she can't cut a promo. You might not have an arm that works.
I was going to say, she'll break my arms. That's okay.
It's hard to believe, but we have all of the main eventers on this one show because Ronda and Brock are on this show. So what's left for Raw?
That's a damn good question. Becky and Bianca. But that's what they have.
Your favorite matchup of WrestleMania so far.
Yep.
So at this point, you can totally see the crowd sweetening because nobody's moving, nobody's clapping, and Ronda Rousey is getting crazy reactions. And then we have Michael Cole talk about how, Ron, why are you back? And then she talks about how her mother was such a good role model. And 4 months after she was born, she knew that she could target this WrestleMania and make it there. Her mom was a single mom who won the Olympics. And she wants to be that kind of role model for her daughter. We hear Michael Cole put over all of her accomplishments and promote her. And then Michael Cole is talking about how she has this great opportunity as a former WrestleMania main eventer, as one of the first 30 women that main event at WrestleMania. And then she is asked about her, Charlotte, and we get recap number two of the night, which was all of the parts where Charlotte beat up Ronda with her one arm tied behind her back. Speak of the devil, out comes Charlotte. And this is all an elaborate setup because Charlotte's going to talk a little bit, but really it's just a distraction. So Sonya Deville can attack from behind. They're going after Ronda's leg, but it doesn't really matter. Eventually, Ronda is in the ring with Sonya. She does a judo throw with the bad leg and stands tall as, yeah, we go to we throw to the back. But before we get to the shenanigans, like, you really didn't like this, did you?
No, this made me want to turn off the show right off the bat.
That's not a good start.
Nope. This was this did not interest me at all in wanting to see what was going to happen next with Ronda Rousey. And for someone who's just come back in the last few weeks, not a good start to the show.
You weren't excited for one half of your feud of the year for Sonya Deville to be mixing up with Ronda Rousey?
No, I certainly was not, Brad.
But aren't you happy that now it looks like Naomi and Sonya are going to be far, far away from each other?
That does make me somewhat happy.
Because Sonya is going to have a broken arm, so she won't be able to wrestle Naomi.
Until they put her with someone like Shayna Baszler.
Oh, yeah, then they can wrestle for the tag titles. You're welcome.
And screw with me a little more. Yep, absolutely.
We then get Big E and Kofi driving around on their New Day cycle. And this is where shout out Joe, fellow podcast host, he asked a very important question. Are we supposed to refer to him as Big E and Kofi or New Day?
And so you listen to, if you listen to the announcers, New Day. If you listen to the ring announcer, Big E and Kofi.
And don't forget they have their big New Day Tron with the New Day graphics and everything.
Correct.
All right, recap number three is Adam Pearce and Sonya staring at the screen watching the beatdown on Ronda and the counter. And this is going to lead us to Ronda Rousey versus Sonya Deville, as we already said. And you're looking forward to that match. Let's see. Would you prefer a root canal or that match next week?
That's a damn good question. I'm not sure which way I'd rather go. Honest to God.
That's really saying about. So if you're looking to fill in for Greg for at least part of the show next week, you can email him at greg@smackdaddies.com. And he was taking applications to watch the Ronda Rousey and Sonya Deville match for him and not... and come on, you can talk about that part. He may watch other parts of the show, but definitely not that part.
Here's the only good thing I can see with that match is that it's going to be quick. At least I would assume so, but knowing my luck, it's going to be a 40-minute grueling match.
Oh yeah, we gotta get Ronda in ring shape.
Yep.
All right, we get our Lethal Lovers / Los Lotharios coming out. And they have their porn star mustaches and they're about to do kiss cam with the obvious plant, because it's clearly a plant because she wants nothing to do with any of the other fans there and doesn't have a seat.
I hate this kiss cam more and more now. And I am at a point, Brad, that I made a decision while watching this that I'm just not going to talk about Los Lotharios and the kiss cam anymore. I'm done. Okay. Already done.
If they start kissing fat girls, will you be happier?
Do you know what? No, I'm just done with it. These guys are...
One!
Do you know what? This is actually... I'm speaking right now to Boris and Matt for the from the BAM podcast for those guys. You can find that on the Patreon, but you can also find it on the BAM podcast feed. They are looking for a replacement for the Madcap Moss line. And the new, it's got to be the Lotharios line, the Los Lothario line.
Because despite the fact they're actually quite good wrestlers, their gimmick is so average.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. So there
so
you go.
Boys, I've named it for you. It's the Los Lothario line.
Triple L.
Yeah.
Okay. I like the alliteration. And out comes the New Day on their four-wheeler. They're whipping around. The New Day logo is at full effect. It's apparently Kofi's birthday. Happy birthday, Kofi. You have a new ATV to drive around. Yay.
It's Big E's birthday. Kofi gave it to him.
Oh, sorry. Big E's birthday. Kofi gave it to him. I'm sure Kofi's wife is not impressed with him spending that much money on his drinking buddy.
Sure.
Match number one of the night is actually going to be the place of a new soundtrack, which I'm going to call rematch number one of the night. You'll have to listen to hear what that sound effect is. Our audience has heard, Greg. And this is our recycle special. And at the beginning of this match, we are going to get Los Lotharios versus New Day / Big E and Kofi. And basically, we have a little bit of offense from the New Day. They start, the Lotharios beat down Kofi. They take him to the outside. They knock Big E off the apron. And they beat up Kofi on the outside. And then we have a commercial. And are you surprised? What do we get coming out of the commercial?
I honestly don't remember. My notes are pretty thin here. Kofi's still being beat down? Yeah.
Kofi's in a headlock. Yeah. So this is the thing that drives me nuts. It's so formulaic. Like, yeah. Kofi's in a headlock. And as soon as we come back, Kofi's fighting out of the headlock.
Yep. That's what happens.
And this is why this is the average, because it's not that this was a bad tag match. It just, there's nothing. If in 6 weeks when I go, hey, remember that match they had? You'll go, nope, because it was just like the other four they had.
And Brad, it's not 6 weeks. If you ask me tomorrow, I will say what match.
And you're not even the one drinking. All right.
Nope.
So I could get my blood pressure raised, or I could just shrug my shoulders and say, well, that's what I get for watching SmackDown. And Kofi makes a big tag. We have Big E in there. He's doing throws. He's doing his belly to bellies. He shakes his hips. He does a splash. New Day hits the midnight, a version of the midnight hour. It's broken up by him, Herberto. Angel then blocks the trouble in paradise. He ends up going to the outside. He's a dum-dum. He's playing with the quad. He's looking at the shiny vehicle. Big E then is out there. We get some throws. We then have Kofi eating a super kick as he tries to get back into the ring off top ropes. And then Big E threatens to run over Angel's tag team partner, Humberto, with the four-wheeler.
Yep. That's...
That's the distraction, which eventually leads to a midnight hour. The good guys threaten to drive somebody over with a four-wheeler, cause a distraction, and win.
That's what we get here. We threaten vehicular manslaughter to win a wrestling match.
Vehicular assault. Come on, they're not going to kill somebody with the four wheeler.
Sorry, I forgot. It's not a sword in Saudi Arabia. My bad.
Or Alabama Slam in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
All right, we get the Usos. We see the Usos. They're ready to have a talk. And then we get the world's longest product placement for a Toyota Tundra, where, I mean, Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs are just whipping around in this four-wheeler. This is the most blatant product placement I have ever seen.
Yeah, Brad sent a message to our super secret group text chat that said that he was starting SmackDown 25 minutes late, and he was watching the show. I said, wait till you get to the point where WWE tries to sell you a truck and a kayak. And that's what you get out of this.
All right, well, recap number three, the WrestleMania highlight package, which we're going to want to strangle somebody with. We come back, New Day's in the back with Ridge Holland and Sheamus. We now know what Sheamus is going to do because they're threatening, and Big E pulls away on his four-wheeler. And yeah, apparently, that's what we're getting. We're going to get an ongoing feud between Sheamus and Ridge Holland and the New Day. Yay!
Yep, I mean, that's what happens when Cesaro's not there.
Well, and the Lotharios will be involved, and maybe the Usos and the Viking Raiders, and we'll just throw them all in one big smashy match.
Actually,
not all of them can be in that match. Somebody has to be in the Andre Giant Battle Royal. All right, Sam Roberts is here. This makes SmackDown worse because Sam Roberts sucks. Sorry. Some of you may be Sam Roberts fans. I am not. He's trash. All right, the Usos are there. They're going to have the big contract signing tonight. They're going to be there. When Big Uso's corner, he's going to take care of them. And They're asking about the Viking Raiders, those smelly Viking Raiders. They can smell them coming from a mile away. And then they start joking about how Sam Roberts smells, but it's actually the Viking Raiders. They attack them. They beat them down. And that's where Pat McAfee gets his line in. See, it wasn't Sam Roberts. It was the Viking Raiders. They could smell them coming. Pat McAfee making SmackDown bearable.
Yep.
So are you excited for this match? Eventually, we're going to get there. And the last patron standing people can still be PO'd about it.
Nope.
All right, recap number four. Natty and Aaliyah in their epic beatdown where Natty finally gets her revenge on Aaliyah. And then we have Xylee talking. She says a bunch of things. It's actually a pretty good promo considering English is her second or third language. And she's about to come out and Natty's going to need a protector.
Yeah. So this is, I'm Googling right now, Brad. Do you remember when Xylee first showed up on SmackDown, protecting?
No, I thought you were going to ask when she was drafted to SmackDown. I don't remember when she was protected. I do know she was drafted to SmackDown.
I can tell you when it was that she showed up on SmackDown. So she was drafted in the 2021 draft where she went to SmackDown. She made her main roster debut on the December 10th episode of SmackDown as a face, protecting Naomi as she fought off Deville, Natalya, and Baszler.
Okay.
And now we are 2.5 months later. Before she actually gets her first match. So what the hell have we done for the last 2.5 months with Xylee? Because she's only been on TV, I think, twice since then.
She's been on the SmackDown roster since October 4th. I want to give a shout out from the board, a big shout out to Matthew Smith, who put that as a, found that tweet and put it and got it and put it on the board. So
that's when she got, when she was drafted.
Yep.
Yeah, and then we got the Xylee was coming in the cool anime, vignettes.
And wait, while we're on the crazy anime vignettes, how do you feel about her CGI entrance?
I don't mind it. It is what it is. It's different at least, so I'll give them that.
Yeah, they wasted a lot of time getting her here, and the worst part is she's probably not going to have a spot for Mania other than the Battle Royal.
I mean, at least they got her here. She is not coming, what's his name? Veer Mahal.
Veer Mahal.
Yeah. So
Veer Mahal is.
Is it Mahal? Or is it Jinder Mahal?
Jinder Mahal. So Veer.
What's Veer's last name? Anyhow.
Is it lost? Is lost. His name is Veer Lost.
Yeah. He is, yeah, he's at a point where, we're ready to, get him refunded Amazon.
He is in Glacier Country.
Mahan.
Veer Mahan is in Glacier Country. So there's this great vignettes for Glacier for a long, long time. And by the time he got there, WCW had moved away from its comic-y, gimmicky characters to the NWO. And so he did not fit in. And he was planned to be a rival for about 9 months. Done. Just DOA. And I think Veer is going to be the same way. By the time he gets there, he'll be drafted to SmackDown.
I hope and pray to God not.
To NXT. It'll be perfect.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we haven't seen Jinder or Shanky in weeks, so not that I'm complaining, but...
You just jinxed it. They're going to come back. I actually jinxed something else for you later, so I'll point that out. Anyways, Natty and Xylee is match number two of the night. This is a fresh matchup, not recycled.
Nope, this is a brand new. I mean, when it's her first match, as she has been on the roster since October or December, whichever way you want to look at, hasn't wrestled yet. This has to be a fresh match.
So what's better, this or the fact that we could have had 7 Natalya matches since then?
I don't even know because, I mean, this match was okay, but it's certainly nothing that I'm going to remember tomorrow.
No, basic Natty offense. We then get a cool where she gets thrown into the corner. She lands in the middle. She jumps off. She does a kick. Natty gets back on offense. A clothesline, a suplex, long abdominal stretch. We then eventually get a big elbow to the top of Natty's head. And then the finish comes with her getting out of the sharpshooter and then a crazy, like, wheeling kick.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe it, I think that they gave Natty too much offense in this match. They, if they wanted to set Xylee as a defender, as a, you know, new badass, then they needed to, this needed to be a Xylee squash match.
Yeah. And you could have, I mean, it's, yeah, the way, like, Sasha got way less, she took almost all the offense in that match. And that look, made Sasha look like a bad, you know, like a badass.
Yep.
So maybe that was it. We couldn't have two squashes on the same show.
Sure, maybe. I don't know.
We then get recap number 6, which highlights of the IC title match from last week. And then we have Sami Zayn coming out in his best Seth Rollins, Seth freaking Rollins jacket with his celebration upcoming. Commercial, back from commercial. We have Sami Zayn in the ring, and he's talking about the injustice that he has overcome. He beat the conspiracy theory. He beat the conspiracy theory, and he is winning against all odds. And some people would say the fact that he won was proof there was no conspiracy, but he was just that able to overcome. And then Sami Zayn says he's going to be a fighting champion, and he would like to give a shot to Shinsuke Nakamura, but his kneecap is still destroyed. But he will take on any worthy challengers, and out comes Johnny Knoxville, because Johnny Knoxville is going to crash his special event the way that Knoxville's premiere was crashed. So this, he then says he wants a match against him. He wants to be the first challenger. Sammy says, you're trying to get in my head. I'm not going to allow you because you're not at my level. You can't win. And so then Sam, they put the mics down. They jawjack a little bit. Sammy goes to leave. Instead, he turns around. He beats up Johnny Knoxville, gives him a haluva kick. The referees get involved. He goes to walk away and gets another one, a second haluva kick. And the line of the segment ends with, that's not a homeless man in our ring who found a nice suit. That's our IC champ. Shout out to Pat McAfee, who makes everything better.
Glad that he's back after his 2 weeks being gone to the Super Bowl, according to Michael Cole. I'm guessing he got lost and couldn't make it home. So that's what we got there. Yeah, I mean, this was an interesting segment here. I'm assuming, obviously, that we're leading towards night one of WrestleMania of Johnny Knoxville and Sami Zayn, you know, showing and kind of having a match and Johnny Knoxville winning, but that's my best guess anyway.
I hope not.
I don't see any other way out of this.
All right, we're hyping up that contract signing. We get recap number 7, which shows us how amazing Titus O'Neil is and why he won the Warrior Award, and he's a WWE ambassador / legend / Hall of Famer. And then we get recap number 8, which is Johnny Knoxville's beatdown from a second ago. We go to the back. There's a conversation going on where Sami Zayn is trying to defend his actions to Adam Pearce. And he said that he had it coming. And then Ricochet walks in. He wants a match. And that's what we're getting next week. Ricochet versus Sami Zayn. And Ricochet needs to get a loss on TV match. There's any chance in hell that Sami Zayn's dropping this title?
Not to Ricochet. Sami Zayn, Ricochet is going to be lying down next week.
Sami Zayn only loses to celebrities.
That's right.
And that's going to lead to that WrestleMania match. Then out of nowhere, Greg's not got much better because the 6th time WWE champion, Sasha Banks, wanders out onto the stage. What?
Yep, we got Sasha Banks back. So, I mean, that's good. And come to find out that Shotzi is kind of hiding in the ring because they didn't give her any introduction at all.
Yeah, and I said right here, I wrote my notes, Greg's going to be in a much better mood because it's not Naomi versus Sonya again. Instead, we get Sasha.
Yep. Using her recycled Sailor Moon gear.
Yes, from the Royal Rumble. Match number 3 of the night is Sasha versus Shotzi, who didn't get an entrance, didn't get music. And basically, before the match starts, Naomi comes out. She goes on on commentary. They can't figure out her headset. She has weird things in her ears. So they start working on that. And I felt guilty because I jinxed. I said the word Naomi and she appears.
Yep. Yep.
I wrote it in my notes and she was just there. And Sasha and Shaughnessy go back and forth. This is a rematch from a few months ago. Yeah. I mean, Sasha hits the three amigos. We get a suplex reversal from Shaughnessy. It throws her face first on the ropes. Sasha is down on the middle rope. Shaughnessy's taking advantage. Eventually, Sasha gets an offense. She hits a crazy meteora, giant one from the middle rope. She then hits this new version of like a code breaker, but her opponent's on her knees, and she basically grabs on, leans one way, and then comes back for the code breaker. Backstabber, bank statement, Sasha wins in record time. And my question was supposed to be, ooh, I wonder what this is going to lead to between Naomi and Sasha. And then I look down as I type these notes, and I look back up, and they're in the ring together, and this is clearly leading to them teaming up. Are you excited at all to have Sasha and Naomi as a tag team?
Yes, I am.
Who are the women's tag team champions right now?
That's exactly what I was going to say. I'm like, they're going to take on the women tag team champions, but I have no idea for the life of me
who Cora are Graves the tag teams. Is a
lucky man. Carmella and Zelina.
There you go. Yeah. And if you want more about Carmella, you can watch their apparently very dirty show on YouTube.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on this one, Carmella and Corey?
I think that this should be our deep dive for next week. Our dilly-dally can be us watching their show where there's apparently random sex toys all over the floor.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't see the preview of this at all.
I did not see the preview either. I just heard somebody else talking about it, and I was like, sex toys? Are you kidding me? This is WWE. And then I saw WWE promoting them. I'm like, oh, man.
Oh, okay. Sure. That's
make sure you're not watching on your work computer. Make sure you're watching it with the filters off. Make sure you're watching it when your wife's asleep.
Yeah. Or,
unless this would help things, in which case watch it with your wife.
Oh, Brad.
No comment. Don't comment. This is the pre-show.
I'm not even touched that with a 10-foot pole.
All right.
Let me say this. Are you at all surprised at this point that WWE is acknowledging the relationship between Corey and Carmella? Because this to me is their first acknowledgement of it, right?
Yep. And it's, yeah, I mean, I guess there's enough heat off of the fact that Corey Graves' wife won't, or ex-wife at this point, won't make a stink on social media.
Yeah, right. But I don't know. I mean, I know we're at this point now where the lines of reality and WWE are blurred, and I get that. But I mean, can you imagine a WWE putting out a YouTube show of Michelle McCool and Undertaker at home?
Oh, I would love that.
I would love it, but can you imagine them doing it?
Hell no.
Even
Natty and TJ.
Natty and TJ would be great. I mean, at least those guys, you know about those guys. But, I mean, for the longest time, there was never even any mention of Taker and McCool. I mean, I'm just scared at the thought of, where WWE can go with some of these things.
Yep. And it's a lot of garbage. Speaking of garbage, here comes Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss, which leads to recap number 8, where Madcap Moss nearly dies on a premium live event from Saudi Arabia, and we have an attempted decapitation, all in the same highlight package, just for you.
Yeah. Yep. We saw this, this you know, neck spot. We talked about this. We covered this in detail on the show. Obviously, once they got to the Sunday show, they knew, you know, he was okay, which is great. So, you know, I know the boys covered that there. I mean, but when we recorded last week, this set me off greatly. It was hard to watch still tonight, even though I know he's okay. Still seeing him fall on his head like that is just, yeah.
Especially when he's selling the neck. And so Happy Corbin talks about how him and Drew are a WrestleMania quality match, and he disrespected the powerhouse, the undefeated one, and he's going to take care of him for what he did to his friend and the disrespect, and that's no joke. And he slaps Happy Corbin on the back, and he's holding his neck. This not WrestleMania match is about to happen. Drew comes down. He's a SmackDown Warrior, not Scottish Warrior, even though he has a sword and a kilt. Drew gets his crazy full entrance. We come back. Happy Corbin comes out, and somehow Happy Corbin grabs a mic and talks his way out of this match. And so the guy that was thrown on his neck is going to have a match. So we get match number three of the night, Happy Corbin versus Madcap Moch, which is also recycle match number two. And yeah.
Happy Corbin versus Madcap Moss?
Sorry, Madcap versus Drew in recycle okay. match number two in the Saudi Arabian rematch.
Yes.
And yeah, there's a misdirection at the beginning. They beat up Drew. Drew then is getting beat up. He takes a big shoulder tackle in the corner. And then we have a crazy Glasgow kiss where you hear the thud. And he's setting up for the Alabama Slam, and we're all screaming, no, no, no. And Madcap Moss saves his life by grabbing the ropes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then we go to commercial, back from commercial. Drew is in a headlock. Shocking. And Madcap is on offense. He's throwing shoulder tackles off the ropes. He does this one where he runs back and forth and hits like a basic shoulder block. Looks really cool. And it sets up the finish later. Drew then starts hitting his offense, including a big neck breaker. Happy Corbin saves Madcap Moss. And eventually Madcap hits a big flurry, including Drew hitting the corner with his shoulder and a DDT, but that's not enough. Eventually he tries to hit a big shoulder block again and instead eats a claymore, and that's the match. And we're still building towards the undefeated Happy Corbin versus Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania. And is anybody buying that Happy Corbin's undefeated?
No, and I'm getting sick and tired of hearing it because I think they said it four different times on the show tonight.
Yeah, and speaking of sick and tired, Ronda Rousey is shown there and shows her beatdown. And then we have Roman Reigns making his way to the ring for 544th day as champion. And I realize that there is 20 minutes left in SmackDown.
Yeah. Is this the point where we had the Ronda Rousey backstage as well?
Oh, yes. Yeah, sorry, I skipped over that, but I don't want to hear her talk anymore.
Here's the thing. If I had to choose between the first segment of the night and this segment, I'm going to take this segment every day of the week.
It was just dry, Greg. She's not very good.
It was, but it was night and day, Brad. I mean, maybe it was the brevity of it. I mean, I think the segment was only 30 seconds.
And she threatened to win and kill.
Yeah, and that's fine. But I mean, if you're going to... You know, if you're not strong on the mic, giving you a 20-minute opening segment is not the thing to do.
But that's the problem, is that's what WWE main eventer has to do.
Yeah. Yeah. But she needs a mouthpiece, right? She needs someone to talk for her. And they don't have that right now, which is sad.
Yep, because the really good mouthpiece is Paul Heyman, and they're not going to do that. Give her MVP. He's got nothing to do while Bobby's healing up.
Yeah, I mean, there's 4 months there. You could go with MVP, but I don't think MVP is the right person for it. I mean, great talker and all that, but it's, you know, MVP has been, you know, totally 100% Lashley and Hurt Business, and then the on again, off again of that. I think you need someone who's there that's kind of fresh, and whether that's someone coming up from NXT who can talk and kind of take a manager type role for her to do that might be a better choice.
Malcolm Bibbins is down there. He's excellent.
Yeah, you could go for someone like that. I was thinking someone, you know, I'm even hate to say something like this, but even someone like an LA Knight might be even someone you could bring in to do something like that.
Adam Cole, I hear, would be a great manager.
Ah, that's funny.
Roman Reigns is there, and he wants Hershey to acknowledge him after his 6-minute walk to the ring. It wasn't a full 6 minutes, but it was at least three. And Hershey acknowledges him. And I noticed a number of people holding up their finger, and then Paul Heyman has the mic, and I smile because this is going to be good. He talks about this being the biggest WrestleMania event, main event of all time, with the biggest stakes at the biggest WrestleMania, bigger than Andre and Hogan, bigger than Austin versus Rock, and even bigger than the night that Paul Heyman ended the streak. And he says, "Hey, Brock, I'll give you half credit for that one. We're going to build up for title in a winner-take-all unification match. And unless you already know, these guys are not here to protect Roman. They're here to protect Brock. And they are going to protect him and prevent this from getting out of hand. And this is how you build up a segment. It's a cliffhanger. And commercial."
And what did you think of that?
I felt like they were stretching, but they found a creative way to stretch.
Yeah, it was different, at least. That was kind of my thought on it, is I've not seen WWE do a talking statement or talking segment, I should say, and then be able to do something like this and set it up as a cliffhanger and then go to commercial.
And then back from commercial, you get all the promos for next week, including the Viking Raiders versus the Usos and Sami Zayn versus Ricochet. And the fact that Vince McMahon's going to be on the Pat McAfee show next Thursday.
That he is. You gonna watch?
I'm gonna try and watch because that piqued my interest. All right.
I think that might be something next Thursday night to turn on after I get home from work in the hotel.
You're not gonna. You know what? You're gonna be in a hotel by yourself. You can totally watch that Corey Graves and Carmella bit on Monday.
Oh, you are a bad, bad man.
And it'll be better than Raw.
That's an understatement. Do you know what? We shouldn't be doing that. We should easily defer. Both Carmella and Corey are on Raw. That really should be something that our good friends Andrada and Agnew cover on Wednesday morning. Wet.
And bonus points if they could convince Mount to watch even 30 seconds.
Bonus points if they can convince their significant other lady friends to watch it.
Oh, that would be so good. Can you imagine? Oh,
I would be curious to what Brock's feelings are. Baby Brock's feelings are on Carmella and Corey's new YouTube show.
Yep.
If the contrasting colors would be enough for him to be interested in that.
If you'd wonder why there was so many soothers on the floor.
Oh God,
Scar, poor Mark's baby Brock before baby Brock even can walk.
Listen, I think Agnew already did that with the Lily doll.
Well, baby Brock leads the big Brock, by the way, because big Brock is coming to the ring. He's in his Saskatchewan finest. He looks like he just came off the set of. Oh, I was trying to think of the Western movie, the Western show that's currently binging
Yellowstone.
It. Yeah, he looks like he just came off Yellowstone. He's ready to, he's going to F5 a cow.
I have not seen that series.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. It's just fantastic. It's everything you want in a cowboy, and Cowboy Brock is the best. I love that he walks around and he walks in the ring and then he takes his hat and he puts it on the corner post. And then he goes, starts talking about hello, Mr. Acknowledge Me. What did he call Paul? Did he call him douchebag or shithead or something like that?
He called him Dick.
He called him Dick for the whole segment. That's right. Okay. And Brock does his best Paul Heyman impression. And he said, he's like, these security guards won't protect you. If I want to get through them, I can. If I want to jump over this table and beat you up, I can do that. And you too, Dick, as he called that, as that's new Paul Heyman's new pet name. And we then have a table sort of break. I see, like, I have no idea. I just see them scrambling to make sure the table doesn't fall down. And then Brock says, the only thing that's preventing me from doing all this is that I'm going to sign this contract and I'm going to get my hands on you. And then Paul Heyman interjects and says that you may not even be champion after Madison Square Garden next Saturday night. And then Brock, and then Roman, which I know they're promoting a house show, and we don't even know who Brock's opponent is, because it's supposed to be Lashley, but Lashley's hurt.
Right. This is one of those things that drove me nuts the whole night, and I didn't talk about it before, and I probably should have, because we saw a couple of these advertisements up to this point. But they've constantly talked about this, you know, unifying the titles and biggest match ever at WrestleMania and all that stuff, but that really is giving away the ending of what the match is going to be at Madison Square Garden next weekend. So
don't make sense.
Yeah, what a stupid thing to do. I'm sorry. That's just moronic.
Or you could just do something totally different. You could have a confrontation tonight where it was Roman was out bragging about his win over Goldberg and Brock just confronts him, and then we do this in a week's time. Or 2 weeks time.
2 weeks time, yeah. That would require too much sense, Brad.
Or too much advanced planning.
Yeah. I think that's the problem they're in right now is they obviously, you know, ticket sales for MSG have not been good. They're throwing, for lack of a better word, they're throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks. And then they're, you know, kind of taking it from there. But I mean, WrestleMania is so fluid. They don't know what's going on where. I mean, look at that Edge promo from Monday Night Raw. It was all over the place because they don't know who they're going to give, as an opponent for Edge.
If it's AJ or if it's Cody.
Or I've heard Damian Priest.
Oh, God. All right. Well, at least Roman was awesome here where he came out and basically said, are you kidding me? This is my show. This is my title. That's my title. This is my cameraman. These are my people. This is my commentary team. They all work for me. Everybody works for me here, including the security team. And then all of a sudden, Brock's in the room with a bunch of jobbers, and Brock does what Brock does best. He turns the security team into pinballs, and he just biffs them around the ring. He whips a chair at a dude and picks up a table and bashes people with it. He hits his F5 and then he starts throwing more suplexes. It was a good time had by all. Roman and the Usos run away. And that's how we end SmackDown. Brock's on a tear and Roman's running for his life.
That's it. That is our mediocre at best SmackDown show for tonight.
So, I mean, we don't do ratings. We just do Hulu reviews. The biggest problem today is I think you'd cut the whole damn show.
I am at that point.
SmackDown. Greg's like, okay, you know what? This has become the new NWA Power podcast. We're going to review. No, I'm only kidding. Nobody wants to do that.
That's funny. Okay, so let's kind of scroll back up here and kind of start at the beginning. First of all, we've got the recaps and all that up the yin yang that automatically gets cut for anyone who is, you know, new and joining us as we kind of butcher the show and kind of make it down into a more digestible version.
The only thing I would say is you can watch the piece with Titus O'Neil, watching all the good stuff he does, and you can admire the fact that when anybody's like, why does Titus still have a job? That is why. Because Titus is a good person, and he needs to make money for his charity.
Yep. And if you hadn't caught up or needed a catch up in the, you know, Brock Lesnar Roman Reigns feud up to this point, that beginning promo, yeah, it was long, but it's certainly, if you've lived under a rock for the last little bit or fallen out of the product and are trying to get in for WrestleMania season, I thought it was an okay promo. And honestly, we're going to be fighting to put stuff into this show, so I'm going to leave it.
All right, but we're cutting everything with Ronda up until, you know what? You cut everything all the way until you come back from commercial, and you could show Adam Pearce watching the highlights of the segment with Sonya.
Yeah.
And set up your match.
Yep, absolutely. Totally can. I would even go so far as cutting the New Day driving the ATV backstage. Not needed. New Day for Los Lotharios. This is 10 minutes and 30 seconds, this match is. And but
you're cutting the kiss cam beforehand.
Oh, this is superstar right here, buddy. This is a 2-minute match. I wouldn't even give them the entrance in this. Come in partway through and go to, go to the go home on it.
Okay, so, okay, that's fine with me. So we're keeping your truck commercial, though. Just kidding.
Yeah, no, we're not keeping those.
Are we going to show Ridge and Sheamus fiddling with the truck back behind the stage? The
ATV? No. Yeah. Not going to do that. Definitely not showing Sam Roberts.
Okay, so that's all that, and the Viking Raiders and all that's foolishness. So now we're up to Sami Zayn. Are we going to show Zaylee? Are we going to see her talk, or are we just going to see her wrestle, or neither?
Don't think we need to see her talk. It's a 4-minute match, and it felt every minute of these 4 minutes.
So you want a superstar this one too?
I want a superstar this one too. I want to cut Naomi's offense in this match. I think this is a minute and a half.
Natty is pretty bad in that match. Do you want to? All right, what about anything to do with Sami Zayn? Are we keeping in Zayn and the whole thing with Knoxville?
I think we've got to keep something, so I think we have to keep this.
All right, so we'll keep that. And, yeah, I guess.
Now we're back to Sasha and Shotzi, 2 minutes and 13 seconds.
Yeah, I guess we keep that. That's a big squash. But you skipped over the fact that we're going to get Ricochet in a match, in a promo.
Yeah, that's Pat. That's don't need it.
You just skipped it.
Here's the thing. You know what? We're going to get that anyway. We're gonna see the preview of next week at one point. So we don't need the backstage thing to set it up. We can just say, hey, this is gonna be on next week.
Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss promo.
Yeah. I think we can cut this.
How about the match between Madcap and Drew?
Superstar.
Yeah. That's
here's the only thing you need to see him hesitating with his neck, and you need kind of the end spot where he's holding on to the rope, and then the distraction.
And
that's really about it.
And you can show him get dropped on his head 3 times during the promos.
Yep. And then the last segment of Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, the contract signing. I am okay to leave this in.
So there you go. So what we're saying is you're going to watch Sasha.
4.5 minutes of wrestling.
And about 20 minutes of promo.
And maybe
25.
Done. Then you're done.
So you can watch SmackDown in 30 minutes or less.
Yeah, I would. Do you know what? You order a pizza first, be delivered by the time you get finished with it.
And you watch it recorded, not live, so you can skip through all the bull crap.
Yep.
So, it's like a WWE. It was like our experience last week where I sat down. I think I'm more positive again because I started late. If I ever learn my lesson, 9:40. I think I should start SmackDown at 9:40, skip through the garbage, and I'll be ready to record at 11. Atlantic time.
I was going to say Atlantic time, guys. Atlantic, yeah. No, Brad is not going to start SmackDown with 20 minutes left on the clock.
Depending on the episode. I think based on our Hulu review, I could have.
All right, fair.
We'll do a final wrap up of Righteous Gemstones next week, as that's a paywall. We're on the other side of the paywall. So if you want to hear us talk about a great show and good television, then you have to pay for it. Because if you're getting this show for free, we're happy that you're listening. Thank you for listening. Thank you for, hopefully you enjoyed my new sound effect. I do sound effects for the rewind, but also a special sound effect for what we're calling the recycling matches of SmackDown. And they're always the recycling on SmackDown. So for $4 a week, you can get a show like this pretty much every day, 7 days a week. And it's $4 Canadian. Plus, you get Dr. Mouth's Rockin' Lunch Party and Jason Agnew hosting trivia. So yeah. that is
$4 a month. You said a week.
I said a week. $4 yeah. Canadian. It's less than a coffee, dude.
Yeah. Like,
an expensive Starbucks coffee. $4 Canadian.
Yeah. $4 a month.
That's like $2.50 American.
Yeah, it's yeah, we you know, as the boys have said, and they say on the big show, there's about 30 podcasts that are released per month, so you're basically getting one a day.
And I'll say this very, very plainly, and I don't even mean this to be a humble brag, we do the worst show on the network, so you're getting us for free, but like, you, when you go behind the paywall, you get to hear, you hear Mouth every week, you hear the BAM, you get to hear Jason and Mark, Joe, the guys over to do the secret, like our secret sauce in our show is the Rampage Rollout, which is three amazing guys who, after the podcast contest, went off and did their own show. They do a great show every week, but they're like the hidden gem on this network because you get them late Saturday, early Sunday, and I'm a big fan of Rampage Rollout.
Yep. Yeah, there's a lot of great things. So yeah, sign up patreon.com/SNME radio. Yeah, we're there. You know, as Brad had mentioned earlier, there's last patron standing contest. Obviously this round is closed because you had to be in prior to the Elimination Chamber premium live event. But you know, get in there and sign up. You know, get all the shows, get interactive with us when we get back. There's the next weekend, I believe, is the AEW pay-per-view, and there will be the live after party that'll be happening. I'm sure that the boys will have more information on that coming out this week, as well as your link in your the Zoom link for you to be able to interact live for that show will show up in your Patreon at some point in the next you know, 7 days or so.
Patreon works that you start, if you sign up the first of the month, you build for that whole month. So if you wait until, if you're hearing this and you're like, okay, I'm not quite sure, wait until March 1, which is next Tuesday, and then you'll get the after, you'll get the after party with Joe and Mouth hosting, mm-hmm. which will be a lot of fun. It's an AEW show, so they'll be way happier. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. When it's an AEW show, I think it's Joe and Mouth.
I was gonna say, I'm not sure who it is. I'm not sure who's hosting.
We'll be wrong. Who cares? If you want to get some of the SNME family gear, go to ballergear.ca. You can get your Daddy Club mug, get your Daddy Club shirt. You can get your Smack Daddy's t-shirt in beautiful royal blue. You can get all kinds of fun stuff there. Thank you for supporting the show. Greg, why don't you plug your socials?
Yeah. Okay. So you can find us online at, well, you can find me anyway on the board as Greg. You know, I usually put up the SmackDown thread on Friday nights. You can find me on Twitter and Facebook personally at Wrong Bagels. And of course, Brad, you can find us at the Smack Daddies on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We haven't really done a lot with those yet. Typically just kind of retweeting stuff that comes out. So we've got to get more into that in the next few weeks.
Do we have to hit, like, do something where we're smacking and daddying? Not in that order. Okay. Probably not. Okay. But we'll just find some ridiculous, like gifts of what we would actually cut from SmackDown. It's like, this is what you need to watch, this is what you need to cut.
Who knows? And you can always interact with us, obviously. You can send an email, greg@smackdaddies.com or brad@smackdaddies.com. And, you know, give us your feedback. You know, if you have questions, if you have things you want us to review, if you have things you want us to talk about on the show, drop us an email, greg@smackdaddies.com, brad@smackdaddies.com. And we will be more than happy to read your email and answer and interact with you.
And when you're behind the paywall, you hear us do a dilly dally every week where we talk about something fun. I am at Brad the Dad NS at Pokemon Go, Twitter, and Instagram, Brad McKinnon on the Facebooks. And right after us in the feed, you're going to get the Rampage Rollout and then the big show where Boris, Matt, and Mike will be there. Uncle Dave, yay! Uncle Dave will be on the show. And I hope he talks. Tell us where Cesaro's going. Uncle Dave knows all.
And, of course, Brad, there is a big interview this week.
Ooh, that's right, with 2.0. So,
yeah.
Good Canadian boys from the Belle Provence. And I can't wait to hear what they're going to have to say.
Yeah, and you know, I know the boys at BAM kind of alluded to this on their podcast earlier this week. If you are not a patron, you will get the show. You know, typically it's, well, definitely after it's aired. Typically, it comes out, you know, Monday, Tuesday time frame. I don't know when I always get it off the Patreon feed. But you're also going to get a abbreviated version of the interview. So, you know, make sure you're signed up for the patreon.com/snmeradio so you get that full interview.
Right. Last week we had a bonus interview that Mike had done all before the start of AEW with Cody Rhodes, which was like a great patron bonus. So shout out to Mike for finding that in his archives. Like that was really cool. And because I didn't, you know, follow Mike at that point, I didn't know, I had never heard that interview. It was like, that was a great little gem to be able to pull out. So, and again, you continue on to Tuesday morning cooked slash the midweek markout. You get an AEW show where you're going to get an AEW review. You get the NXT talk, you get BAM, and you come back here with us on Friday nights. And I don't think we're going to get fired. I think we're going to be allowed to be the free show once every 6 to 8 weeks at the rate we're going.
Yeah.
Did I not plug anything? Did we plug did we plug it sufficiently enough? Should we just, you know, we can plug for like, let's just do 7 more minutes of plugs.
I was going to say, and then of course, you neglected to mention, I think as you were rounding those down, there's the Tuesday or the Sunday morning trivia that's typically released on Monday that Jason puts up of his 3-hour trivia show that's on. And then of course, there's Dr. Mouse lunch party that is also on the feed.
So there you go. That's a ton of stuff. It's only $4 a month. patreon.com/snmeradio, and that's pretty much it. If we will eventually go back to Righteous Gemstones, not because we're avoiding it, but just because if you want that, gotta go behind the paywall.
Yep. So and of course it's season finale on well, it's now Saturday now, so tomorrow night. So looking forward to that one,
and we'll have a full recap on the end of season two. Have you heard anything? Are we getting season 3?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Season 3 is already confirmed. It's out on IMDb. Awesome. So, yeah, looking forward to that. But, Brad, I think that's it. I mean, it's, you know, 12:30 or so here local time. I think it's probably time for us to call it a night. And we'll talk to all the patrons next week. And hopefully we have a few new ones who are joining us.
Thank you again, my friends, for joining us. Our honored guests, we hope you enjoyed yourself and you will join us behind the paywall. And without anything else to say, I guess there's only one last thing to say. We the ones.
So there you have it. That podcast can be delivered to you each and every week right into your inbox, along with all of our other podcasts from Sunday night's main event. We're not just on Sunday nights. We're on each and every day, and you can listen on demand. And along with our wrestling podcast, we also add in a weekly 3-hour trivia show that I host on terrestrial radio across Canada. And we also add in Dan the Mouth Lavransky. Well, he loves two things in life. One is wrestling and the other is music. So we have Dr. Mouth's Rock and Roll Lunch Party for you each and every week as well. Because you know what, guys? There's more to life than wrestling. For all of these podcasts, sign up at patreon.com/snmeradio. Only $1 a week. Hey, it's a pretty good deal. patreon.com/snmeradio. Don't you dare miss it.